The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
What up? Last hour, Peter Burns in for the Paul Feinbaum Show. Hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. I see Gordon, Dylan, Bama Bob, Jacob Gator, Richard, a bunch of you guys on hold. Get your phone calls in just a little bit. We're joined now by Nick Bromberg over at Yahoo. And Nick, you wrote an article that was talking about teams that can make that jump. And it's become kind of this, you know, this joke, right? Texas is back. But Steve Sarkisian, second year, Quinn Ewers and all these guys, like these guys in the offensive line, is this truly the year that Texas is back?
I don't think so, but I think Texas can win 8 or 9 games. And I also think, too, we all have to go into the week 2 game against Alabama and know that even if Alabama only wins that game by 3 or 7, or even if Texas has the upset win, that we can't make the Texas is back proclamation because we have seen this from Texas before in big non-conference games. You go back to Notre Dame in 2016, the LSU game in 2019. Texas has shown up recently for non-conference games and then gone on to have disappointing seasons. So we're going to joke about it, but let's pump the brakes until mid-October, at least maybe past that Oklahoma game, and then we can start kind of talking about it.
I'm fascinated by this because it feels, especially on this show, there's been so much conversation about how good Alabama is and how good Georgia is. But the teams that you wrote about that think that they can take that next step here in this conference were which ones?
LSU and Florida. And that's, you know, I think you're looking at that game between LSU and Florida and, you know, the winner of that game maybe is the one on track for the 8 or 9 game season. Florida's schedule to me is absolutely fascinating. And I think that's a team you're going to look at to get off to a hot start because I can't remember a team having 6 of its first 7 games at home like Florida does this year. And you get Kentucky out of the gate. You beat Utah and Kentucky. And I think Kentucky is one of those teams maybe due for a drop in 2022. Hmm. You upset Utah. You beat Kentucky. That's a huge start right there. And then Florida, I don't necessarily know if they win that Tennessee road game and the group of all that, those home games, but Florida, you're 5-1 going into your off week. That's fantastic. And I'm also honestly bullish on LSU. I don't think they're going to be the last place team again in the West. I think with all the transfers Brian Kelly has brought in, I like Jaden Daniels, the quarterback. Receivers are absolutely fantastic. I think this is an LSU team that 7-5 is probably going to be a very absolute
death. Chris Boyer, who's a diehard LSU fan, we were discussing about it, and I was like, I don't think LSU's quite getting enough love right now. In fact, being picked, 5th over in the SEC West by the media this year. And again, I guess it comes back to quarterback play, right? At least in Florida, you got Anthony Richardson, who we've seen flashes when he's healthy, but what do you think that comes to be as far as the quarterback room down in Baton Rouge?
You know, LSU, I think, is in a good spot. And that can go both ways, obviously, with having two guys like Miles Brennan and Jaden Daniels. And a guy like Brennan, you know, he has to be healthy. We've seen what he can do when he's healthy. He was a very good quarterback. But having a solid backup there, even with Max Johnson over in College Station, if Jaden Daniels wins this, you're throwing to 2 fantastic receivers, like I said. But even if Brennan wins the job and he stays healthy the entire season, you know, Brian Kelly's always had solid quarterback play, no matter who he's had. So I think the offensive system is going to be set up for somebody to succeed. But if you can take that step from being just simply an above-average offense to a very good offense, then you can, you know, potentially make some noise in the SEC West. And I don't think it's out of the question for LSU to finish as high as 3rd.
Again, it is kind of that idea of who is that 3rd best team in the SEC. And frankly, I think you could put 7 different teams that have a legitimate chance to get up to that level that Georgia and Alabama sit atop of. Nick, when you look at what's going on with the Big Ten and, you know, they talk about conference expansion and even playoff expansion, where do you stand? Are you a 4 playoff guy or a CS type guy? 16, 100? What do you say?
Oh, 128. Let's just, you know, go all the way down the entire season. No, I think 16 would be fantastic. I mean, we can 1 through 4. You know, I really do think that we're going to look back at the way that the college conference landscape is changing over the next few years and say the failure to come to an agreement on what an expanded playoff format would look like and during the 2021 season is going to be the end of the Power Five as we know it, with USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, and then, you know, who else? We don't know about the future of the Pac-12 right now. So it's a matter of trying to figure out who gets the automatic seat at the table. If you do 12, Power 5 plus 1, that's 6. There's still room for 6 wild cards there. And I think that would be an equitable solution for everyone involved, because there's still plenty of room for wild cards. And if you're the Big Ten, you're the SEC, you still can get potentially 3 or even 4 teams into a 12-team playoff in a year like that. So I would absolutely love to see a 12-team playoff. But again, you know, as we saw through all the talk during the 2021 season, it came to, you know, one of the big, I want to say, the points that stalled it was, where are those playoff games going to be played, and, you know, who's going to get on-campus home games in the first and second round?
Yeah, and the difference is, at that point, when they were everybody was at the table, which all of the conference commissioners, for the most part, agreed on the plan that was in front of them, right? The 12-team playoff with the top four being byes pretty much was agreed to, and then everybody came back and said, no. Like, Texas and Oklahoma have left. We need to put a pause on this. And I guarantee you, the next deal for the college football playoff, it does not have to be unanimous, remember. Right. Like, so this next deal is definitely going to favor the big time players. And I assume that's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten. Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Kevin Warren made it pretty clear in his remarks at Big Ten Media Days this week that he wants to see more networks involved in the college football playoff, because, you know, if you expand the playoff from 4 to 12, you're looking at a lot more games. Obviously, ESPN has the rights to the current playoff right now. I think even if you say one network is going to have every game in a 12-team playoff, having somebody else involved, and I think it's clear that Fox is looking at a much bigger outlay going forward for the Big Ten with its negotiations right now with USC and UCLA going forward, even just simply having another bidder in the process raises the process for these conferences who are, you know, absolutely planning out their future paydays and what their TV revenue is going to be 10 years down the line, because they know they have to expand the playoff. They just have to get basically the cart and the horse merged together here, because you've got to figure out the format, because you cannot leave all of that potential revenue on the table by keeping to stall on a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, it's amazing. Again, the butterfly effect of the Pac-12 and the ACC and other conferences not agreeing to the deal that was on the table could be ultimately their demise and really the change of college football. Nick, very smart stuff, man. We appreciate the time, and thanks for coming on, all right?
Hey, thanks for having me.
There it is. Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports talking about some of the different teams that are going to be scheduling to take that kind of the next jump. He had LSU and Florida. And I think they're in two different kind of spaces right now. And I'm fascinated because Scott Woodward could have gone right down the road to Lafayette and hired Billy Napier, right? I mean, he was aware that Billy Napier was crushing it over Louisiana Lafayette, but he chose not to. So I think that's part of the chip on the shoulder that Billy will never admit that he has, but I think that he has definitely circled behind the scenes that LSU game going, I guess I wasn't good enough for the you know, right down the road on I-10 for LSU. Let's see what happens. I am worried about Florida's first part of that schedule, though. I mean, when you start looking at Utah, then Kentucky, and, of course, you got LSU in that kind of midway part, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. I think it takes longer for Billy Napier to build what he wants to build in Gainesville than it does Brian Kelly in LSU, because I think he's got a little bit more talent on that roster. Let's take another phone call. Richard is in Tennessee. What's up, Richard?
Hey, Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just wanted to comment on Mizzou's head coach, you know, throwing some shade at the Vols today. I mean, I get it with, you know, Pruitt and his wife. It was embarrassing. But we're over that. We're past it. We've got hypo now. We're rolling. And I don't think I'd be talking a whole lot of trash when the game was over in the first quarter in Missouri last year. So.
I mean, yeah, you know, Richard, I mean, that's part of, you know, Drink has always does that, right? I mean, he, you know, he likes to stir the pot a little bit, and I like that. I mean, it's a little friendly, you know, kind of trash talk. And basically what he said, he was on the Jim Rome show earlier today and ultimately ended up kind of joking about Missouri's record is about to improve once all of the Tennessee Volunteer wins are soon vacated. And he joked around,
right,
and kind of questioned his wife's commitment to winning, of course, in light of allegations that Jeremy Pruitt's wife was involved in the Tennessee violation. So I think, again, it adds a little bit to kind of some fun. But and again, I mean, Tennessee's got to – if you're a Vol fan right now, you got to feel pretty damn good about your team.
Oh, feeling good. We are rolling and recruiting right now, and I'm excited to see where we're headed in the future. So, but I'll be looking forward to Missouri coming to Knoxville this year.
Well, you know what? And you already were probably excited for that matchup just because it was, you know, an SEC squad coming in to Neyland. But the fact now after, you know, Drink says that adds a little fuel to the fire. I'm sure fans will let him know when he gets on the field. More of your phone calls coming up next. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. I know I'll be alright.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns, easy for me to say, in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. The phone number, as always, 855-242-PAUL. We've been talking about Big Ten Media Days, what's going on here in this conference, conference expansion, college football playoff, and, of course, your phone calls. John is in Alabama. What's up, John?
Hey, Peter. How you doing? Roll Tide.
Hey, how
got
you doing?
Got an idea to run by you.
Okay.
Just since everything is mainly money-driven, just I've heard some people kind of skirt on this idea, but nobody talks about the back end like they did the front end. If we ended up with two super conferences, then, and I don't think two's the number. I think four is the more likely number. But if we ended up with two, just to take this for an example, and then each league had six teams, that would be a total of 12. That was one time the target number for playoffs. But if you had six teams, two teams would have a bye. You essentially could have, say, an SEC championship or a Big Ten championship where the conference would keep its money. And think about the SEC. It would utilize the Cotton Bowl in Dallas now that that's in their footprint. The New Orleans Sugar Bowl now that that's always been in their footprint. The Orange Bowl and Atlanta, and rotate those games using those bowls to determine its representative for the Super Bowl of college, the college football championship. So you'd end up with 12 teams, whether you had two big divisions, six apiece, or whether you had four leagues and determined it in another way. But couldn't the conferences then align with their TV provider, like Fox for the big and ESPN for the Southeastern Conference, keep all of that money. It would be the essentially the same thing that you have in your basketball SEC tournament or the Big Ten championship basketball tournament. You would have your own teams in it. You would end up with one representative, and it does follow the model that I've heard people allude to, like the AFC, NFC, you know, pro football model. But I think it works. Is it a crazy idea, or what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, listen, you know, the idea, and Greg Sankey didn't talk much about it, but there was talk about, hey, could there be an old SEC model, right? I mean, or an old SEC two-team or four-team playoff, and then all of a sudden they face someone just like you're talking about, no different than the AFC or the NFC. Again, I think all of these ideas are at the table, but, John, I think what most importantly you're bringing up is the fact that even that this could be a plan for the Big Ten and the SEC to have that in their arsenal, A, do they decide to use it, or B, do they decide to use it as leverage against all of the other conferences and go, hey, here's the deal.
To get them to join.
Unless you agree to this, it ain't going to be like we all have to agree. Because in 2025, after that deal is done, it is going to be the power brokers that make that call, not it has to be a unanimous decision. So it is, at least at a bare minimum, a threat of what these two conferences could do.
Well, the Big would get exactly what it wants. Think about that. Now that they've aligned UCLA and USC, they get the Rose Bowl. They can have the Rose Bowl as their championship game every single year. But think about what the SEC could do. And the SEC championship game has been much different than the other leagues in that it's always packed out. I mean, I've got 10 tickets to the game. We got them from starting in 1992, and I don't care if my team doesn't get in it, because if it's somebody else, Lord of mercy, they'll pay me a fortune for it, because there's always so much excitement about that game. It's packed out. But think about it. A preliminary quarterfinal game, you know, in the Cotton Bowl, the semifinals, you know, in the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, and then a championship game in Atlanta. Can you imagine the money that conference, our conference, would generate, and the Big could do the same thing, you know, with their teams? It would just be and they keep it all to themselves instead of paying it to somebody else to run
it. It's fascinating, and thank you. And I want to thank you for the phone call. Here's the other part of this, though. For if you talked about it, right? You talked about Fox in the Big Ten and ESPN and the SEC. At that point, if you're just creating two major conferences, what are you doing to the other conferences of college football, right? Which Fox likes to air other games. ESPN likes to air other games. So, in essence, if you're saying none of those games matter anymore, well, then Fox doesn't have more television games to put on, neither does ESPN. So, you know, again, at some point, I don't think it's good for the sport to consolidate to just two conferences. I do believe in a 12-team playoff, much like that has already been, put out there. But I think it's instead of giving the top six teams an entry in, you put the top four conferences in. And at that point, you have eight at-large bids. And still, then if all of a sudden, if the Big Ten has a great year, hey, congratulations to them. They're going to get more bids. Or if all of a sudden the Pac-12 catches fire, Big 12, whatever, the SEC. That way, you still have a lot of access for other smaller conferences that are still a lifeblood of why we all fell in love with college football, and it doesn't completely go away. Bama Bob is in Florida. What's up, Bama Bob?
Peter, first of all, me and my wife are sitting here loving on that sweater you got on there. And
appreciate that, man. A little row back. So it's actually more of kind of a red and white, but it pops as pink. So thank you, man.
Yeah, it looks nice on TV. What was the story about the mustache last week? You lose a bet or something?
So I take it you weren't a big fan of it. So what it was, Bama Bob, is going into SEC.
You look like a 70s porn star with that.
It was. It looked like I moonlighted in different professions. It looked like a mixture of basically Ron Burgundy with a little Ted Lasso with a little Top Gun. And
there you go.
That basically was all three of them. And my wife hated it, so therefore I no longer have the stash coming up this week.
Well, they're the ones that rule the roost, so you got to go with that. And I'm a little worried about Larry there. Doesn't Uber Eats deliver beer?
So the good news is when Larry and Shelby called earlier, he said that he was waiting for a beer delivery as he was out. It sounded like he had already quenched his thirst quite a few times here, Bama Bob. So I'm just glad that – Larry was not driving to go procure a little bit more beverages. We'll put it
exactly, down. Exactly. Being an ex law enforcement officer, I'm sure he knows better. The big question is, don't you think that the media is trying to like drive a wedge between the SEC and the Big Ten somehow and jack up the Big Ten a little bit because, you know, they're sick of hearing about the SEC this and the SEC that. You know, flashback back last year, Aiden Hutchinson and Will Anderson, you know, Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, Will Anderson was probably the best player in college football, and the numbers that he put up were equally as impressive as Aiden Hutchinson, if not even more. In fact, you can call a couple of different players in the SEC, but I do feel like there was some love to be given to a Michigan player because of what they had done, but then what did he do against Georgia? Jack squat.
Nothing.
No.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm just thinking, you know, the media is trying to build up the Big Ten, which is, you know, in my opinion, the Big Ten is garbage, but that's my opinion. But, you know, if a player is better, you know, give him his fair due. You know, he should have been at that Heisman Trophy right behind Bryce and, you know, in second place. Yet they put a guy there that, you know, didn't even compare to Will Anderson.
Now, and Bama Bob, thank you. And I saw your original question was what was Bama's record going to be coming up this entire year? And I think they end up going undefeated and win the national championship. So I answered that question for you off air there. But again, when we look at this and we don't say that the Big Ten is garbage. They're not garbage. They have a lot of tradition. They're a fairly good conference. What I mean by this is that I was getting sick and tired of everybody comparing two super conferences. The only thing their super conferences and where they're close to is how much money their television deal is. That's it. When you look at the actual play on the field, when you look at Georgia and Michigan and what just happened, when you look at the amount of different national champions, it's almost embarrassing to compare the SEC to the Big Ten, right? In fact, I think almost sometimes the ACC is closer because they've at least had a couple of different champions that have won in the last two decades. That's something that the Big Ten can actually say. More of your phone calls coming up next. Peter Burns in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. More coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. More of your phone calls. For my old stomping ground, San Antonio,
hey, what's
Texas.
How you doing, man?
Matt?
Peter Burns.
How you doing,
I
bud?
Want to talk to you about Texas A&M football. I'm doing good. I'm a little hot right now. I just got off of work.
It always is, man, in San Antonio. What is it, like 102, 103 out there, or what?
No, I'm not in San Antonio yet. I'm not moved out there yet. Paul, I'll tell you, I'm on a base income apartment list, and I won't probably hear back September or next year from the first and second one.
I got
so it. I just been doing my thing, trying to prove my reading so I can bear myself in life.
Awesome, man. Congratulations. I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you, bro. Look, I want to tell you about Texas football schedule in Bama. Look, I get everything Bama can win a national title, go undefeated, but Bama has one Achilles heel to them. We had it last year. They have a great defense, but no offensive line. We had a great defense, but no offensive line. They're not going to go undefeated. They're going to win at least, lose one game at least. And I'm thinking they lose that are A&M, because I think we're going to go 11-1. Maybe LSU, maybe Tennessee, or maybe Auburn. And I want to know what your thoughts on it are.
You know, Matt, it's interesting because I look at Alabama this year, and I go, all right, do you have quarterback play? Of course, you got it with Bryce Young. Of course, you got Dallas Turner. You got Will Anderson on the other side. So you have three of the most dynamic players in college football. Outside of that, what I've seen is how many different transfers have want to come in and play for him right now. And so I know you're a big Texas A&M fan, and while we saw the upset last year, I just can't buy that stock into Texas A&M right here, right now.
I disagree with people. It's not going to be a blowout. I think it'll be a close loss to have because that offensive line is going to have their tech Bryce Young. And like I said, I just don't think we can get blown out or go 8-4 again. No one's your thoughts on our schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. As long as it's not 7-5, I don't care what the hell A&M does this year. Because I'm not looking at A&M being a title contender this year.
No, I'd be
surprised. Right. So, I mean, again, for me, I look at this, and we got the schedule up right now, is the one game that I feel like you have to win is anytime you're playing non-conference games. And that game at home against Miami, I feel –
I think we'll beat Miami because, honestly, Miami's a joke for programming. You got a good coach, but still a joke. And I think we win a title in 2023. What do you think about that? No, I'll let you go, Berta.
Matt, I if I'm looking at something, I look at exactly what Kirby Smart built in, what was it, like year two, right? Is how can you improve to get yourself into title contention each and every year? Jimbo's done that with his recruiting classes. I got to be honest with you. I know this will upset A&M fans that are listening, but if it's 9-3 and 10-2, I'm perfectly A-okay with that. As long as some of the younger guys are getting some quality reps, because I think Alabama's just that much head and shoulders above everybody else. Alabama has their year, and then it'll be Texas A&M in 2023. That can at least compete for a title alongside with some other squads. Lubbock, Texas, we go. Kelly, welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Kelly?
Yeah. Oh, I got a question. I'm a diehard OU fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know what your opinions are from the SEC, how the difference between Lincoln Riley and the new football coach. I mean, our recruiting and how we're building our team. Are we going to be able to compete once we get there, or are we just a joke?
Kelly, thank you for the phone call. Wow, a Sooner fan living in the heart of Big 12 country over there at Texas Tech's backyard in Lubbock. Brent Venables, the brand-new head coach, you know, comes in. He had a really good run as a defensive coordinator over at Clemson. I remember vividly with my friend Travis Haney, we went back to Clemson one day, and we asked Brent, like, why aren't you a head coach? He's like, bro, I've got the best gig out there. Like, I get paid extremely well. At that time, I think it was, like, close to $2 million, and I get to coach ball as a defensive coordinator, because as a head coach, you're more of a CEO. I do have concerns on how that team looks without having an offensive genius, which was Lincoln Riley. I know some people don't like Lincoln, but I think he did a hell of a job. I mean, and the numbers speak for themselves. So I do think that there is not necessarily a rush for Oklahoma to get into the SEC, much like the same thing with Texas right now, because Texas learned a valuable lesson when they went up to Fayetteville and absolutely got whipped. Actually, it wasn't a whipping, it was a whooping. It was they're not quite ready for this league when it comes to line of scrimmage. I don't know what Brent Venables brings to the table when it comes to recruiting. All I know is they got 2.5 years or 3 years to actually get right, or else they're going to feel like Nebraska did when they first joined the Big Ten. And by the way, Nebraska has done extremely well since then. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Jasper, we go to. Dylan, happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, Peter?
Oh, man, just living the dream here in the middle of summer. What's going on with you?
Oh, doing good. I was wanting to turn your attention to the Kentucky Wildcats in the East.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to contend for Biggie, you know, the Eastern Division title this year, and I can see them and Georgia meeting up, going, you know, 9-1 in the middle of the year, both of them, or at the towards the end of the year.
Dylan, we've had a couple years where Georgia has taken, you know, I mean, literally, you know, and because normally if we're going to put up Kentucky's schedule, Brams, I'd like to see it. If we look at it, you know, it feels like over the last couple years, it was like mid-October that Georgia game was. So it was kind of like, all right, what's, you know, whoever won this game had an opportunity to win the East. It could come down to that. My question that I have, Dylan, is how good is that offensive line going to be? I think that's a monster concern for this team. And is Trayvon Robinson going to be half of the playmaker that Wandell Robinson was for Will Levis last year?
Yeah, that's some questions right there. But I just looking at their schedule, you know, they got Ole Miss early on. I think that's going to be in Oxford. I could see Kentucky dropping that game, and then I can also see Georgia having problems with Tennessee or South Carolina, because I mean from what I'm hearing, everybody's talking them teams up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. The team that I feel like is getting a lot of love that I'm still kind of concerned with it is Ole Miss. Right? I mean, you lose Jeff Levy,
yeah.
You lose DJ Durkin as the defensive coordinator. He goes out to Texas A&M. Matt Corral, of course, he had some interesting comments this week saying he wished he would have gone somewhere different, but that was fascinating to me. You know, is it going to be Luke Altmyer, Jackson Dart? I think that they lose a ton, and I think that's the team that actually struggles the most coming out of the SEC West, and actually one of the reasons why I had them seventh in the West if I had put together the SEC media voting.
Yeah, and like I said, I've looked at that schedule and everything, and I see them, you know, potentially losing to Ole Miss and actually being 9-1 going into, you know, the Georgia game. And that, and from what I've heard, I think sometime this week that's going to be a night game in Lexington.
Oof.
And
Kroger
with
Field's
a potential,
yeah.
With a, you know, with a potential number two, number three team coming in there, they're going to be fired up, and I think they can squeeze their way into Atlanta to play Alabama. But
and
I mean,
Jay,
obviously,
I don't
see them losing to Alabama.
I mean,
I don't see them beating Alabama.
Dylan, thank you for the phone call. I will say this. This is one of the things that's going to be interesting to me, because in a couple of years, I think the SEC, along with a lot of other college conferences, are going to get rid of divisions as a whole, right? Because they want to put together their best teams at their corner. What's that going to do to a Kentucky, right? What's that going to do with a Mississippi State, who in certain years, if they put it all together, they had that opportunity to play in Atlanta. Is that going to hurt those kind of mid-tier teams that are trying to move up? I think it perhaps could be that way. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. One more phone call here before we go to break. Houston, Texas. What's up, Tracy?
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Thanks for taking my phone call.
You got it, man. What's going
on? Just real quick, man. I'm a Baylor Bear. I was in the Southwest Conference around the time Arkansas left the Southwest Conference. One of the other callers mentioned, and someone mentioned, that Arkansas has done terrible since they left. They left the Southwest Conference, Big 12, as you know. Texas and OU are in for a big surprise. They have not done well in the Big 12 together the last 3 or 4 years. They've struggled. So I say to, you know, I just throw this out there, what makes them think they're going to go into a new conference, a tough conference, and do well? At best, they're fourth, fifth place team, just like A&M. A&M had a good year, see if they can follow it up. Just don't think they're neither one of those teams. It's going to take them a while to do well in that league. I'll hang up and listen for your response.
Tracy, stay hydrated in there, man. It's always like 98 degrees and, you know, 6-hour traffic out there in Houston. I used to live in Kingwood, man. That place is brutal sometimes. And I think it's going to be brutal for Texas and Oklahoma when they first get into this conference. That's why I don't think, as I said earlier, that there is a huge rush, because if I'm Brent Venables and I'm Steve Sarkisian right now, I'm going, hey, I need 2 or 3 years to build up to get ready. right? And let me feast here in the Big 12 while I can before I got to go play big boy football, and especially a line of scrimmage league like the SEC is at. And again, I keep going back to this. Go look at Nebraska. And when Nebraska left, they went to the Big Ten. They did it because they were looking for a lot more money of the Big Ten. They failed to be a contender ever since they made that change. Is that going to be the same for Texas and Oklahoma? Only time will tell. One more segment to go. More of your phone calls and more of your tweets coming up. Peter Burns in for the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feinbaum Show, Peter Burns in. Coming up, Danny Werfel will be on Friday. Kathy, our great director, is like, get out of the shot, Peter, in her Cajun accent. Peter Burns in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum, who's scheduled to be back tomorrow, so he'll be talking to Danny Werfel. Until then, you're talking to me. We go north of the border in Canada. James, what province are you from, my friend?
Peter, I'm driving down the Trans-Canada in New Brunswick.
Well, there you go. All right, man. Well, what do you got for me? Thanks for listening.
Great show today. Really enjoyed it. I got to run an idea by you. The thing that college football most resembles is football in the United Kingdom. So what they should do is take the Division One brand, rebrand it as Division One, pick 32 teams, nationally, you know, level teams, A&M, Oklahoma, Texas, UCSC, UCLA, four or five SEC teams, couple from the Big Ten, and make that be the top tier. Keep all the existing conferences, maybe restructure them so they're more regional, and then do relegation like they do in Britain, right? So at the end of every year, your conference has a playoff, your top two teams go up, and the bottom eight teams from Division One go down. And the national champion always comes out of Division One, but now you've got lots of rivalries, lots of engagement on a regional basis, and an ability to climb your program and get somewhere else.
James, it's fascinating because I know, you know, Commissioner Greg Sankey is an avid reader. One of the books I believe I saw him tweet out was, I think it's called The League, which is kind of the story about, you know, Premier League and how it came together, which relegation is a very big part of. What is intriguing about this is you can't do it right now simply for the fact of everybody makes the same amount of money in a conference because of the revenue sharing that they have, right? Vanderbilt makes, you know, the same share for television dollars as far as Alabama per their normal regular season contract. But if it ever gets to a point to where all of a sudden there are different tiers of how much revenue is generated, then you have at least a little bit more leeway when it comes down to it. So I'm going to be very curious to see the first conference that says, no, we're not going to do the same amount of equal shares for their conference members, and because that could potentially lead to a little bit more freedom in a relegation idea you're talking about.
Well, it makes total sense, right? Because Vanderbilt's a great school, but there's no way that they're drawing the eyeballs that an Alabama or an A&M is, right? I mean, Jimbo Fisher was on Fox Radio this morning talking to Colin Cowherd. I can't name the Vanderbilt coach. I'm a pretty big sports fan, and I actually live in Houston. I'm just up north of the border for the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I love Clark Lee, but like you said, James, what you're talking about is that he's got a lot of work ahead of him. And again, that's going to be something to monitor. Is everybody was cool with everybody making money 10, 15 years ago. But what has happened is nobody was complaining. But the more and more you see a Texas and Oklahoma say, hey, we're pulling our weight in the Big 12, we got to leave because it's not worth it to us, they left. UCLA and USC, right? At one point they said, well, we're pulling all the weight for the Pac-12 and we're not getting a bunch of money. Let me go to the Big 10. So sooner or later, some schools are going to be notified going, listen, if you don't pull your weight and you're not bringing the eyeballs, you got two choices. Either, you know, you accept this amount of money or you can leave. And I guarantee you, a lot of these schools that are already in these big time conferences, they're not going to want to leave because they like that paycheck. Let's go to Jacob is in Georgia. What's up, Jacob?
What's up?
What's up, man? What
I was calling about Alabama's offense. Like, what do you think, like, the running back core and the wide receiving core, what do you think that's going to be like this year?
I mean, again, it's wash, rinse, repeat, right? I mean, that's the whole deal for Alabama right now. I'm really curious, though, to find out what Jermaine Burton does. I think that's one of the more intriguing storylines this year, Jacob, is the fact that he wins the national championship, but at some point he looks around and go, wait a minute, I can play. Ajay Hall is no longer there. Billingsley has gone out. So they're like, you know, Jameson goes to the next level. I can be that next guy. I'm curious to see if he's going to be that wide receiver one. I also want to see what Gibbs, the Georgia Tech running back, is going to be able to do. He was first-team All-American last year at Georgia Tech. What's he going to be able to do behind an offensive line like Alabama? Real quick, Jay is in Kentucky. What's up, Jay? Jay in Kentucky. What do you got, man? Bill's in Georgia. Quickly, Bill, what do you got? Bill, Georgia.
Hey.
Oh, hurry. Oh, Peter. Man, I almost hung up. Oh, what do you got for me, man?
I just wanted to compliment you. I've been listening to you for years, and I'm thinking when Paul's getting a little bit old, but he's doing a great job. But when he goes, I think it's time for you to maybe step in and take over.
Paul's going to do this show like Nick Saban's going to be coaching. He's going to be 97 years old and still dominating it. So I got a long ways to go, my friend. What do you got for me real quick?
Well, you commented earlier, a guy called in about 5 o'clock, I guess, about Auburn football.
Yeah.
You said you got to talk to Harsin at the media days. And but you never expounded more why you thought they would do it.
Bill, the reason why, because we're almost out of time, I felt like he had to deal with so many outside football office issues that he couldn't really focus on that. And I think now he's got some of his former Boise State coordinators that he feels comfortable. And I think, remember, the guys that were on the team last year, they adopted him as a head coach. He didn't recruit them. That's why I'm buying a lot of stock in Brian Harsin. Thanks for letting me host today, Paul Feinbaum Show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.